Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, September 13th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
Ooh, Wednesday the 13th.
That's nothing.
That's nothing.
Doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
No.
All right. My name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com.
All right, James, we are releasing this episode at 8:30 a.m. That means one of two things. Either one of us had something to do last night and couldn't record. We were just lazy as another option, I guess. Or there's an embargo. I wonder which one it was.
Well, I'm just back from my trip. I was on the third rock from the sun.
Oh, very well done, James. Yes, the reason that we are releasing this episode a little later than normal is because this morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, the Roundabout Theater Company announced that this December, Tony and Emmy-winning star of Third Rock from the Sun, John Lithgow, will return to Broadway in a one-man show called John Lithgow Stories by Heart. In the show, directed by Daniel Sullivan, Lithgow, quote, evokes memories of family, explores and expands the limits of the actor's craft, and masterfully conjures a cast of indelible characters from classic short stories by Ring Lardner and P.J. Wodehouse. Lithgow elevates the magic of storytelling to masterful new heights. The show will begin performances at the American Airlines Theater on Thursday, December 21st, and is scheduled to run through March 4th. This is that slot I'd mentioned and wrote about before between Time in the Conways in the fall and Travesties in the spring. So really, there is no room for an extension. There's like a three-week buffer for load out and load in on each side. So if you want to see this one, make sure you get tickets for before March 4th. Stories by Heart first took to the stage in 2008 at Lincoln Center Theater, directed by Jack O'Brien, in a special repertory presentation where Lithgow would actually tell one story each night and then would rotate through different stories. Then, in between his insane busy film and television shooting schedule, Lithgow has been developing the show in theaters around the country. Tickets to this unique Broadway experience will be available to Roundabout subscribers and donors first, and then to the general public on October 2nd. In case you are counting, this will be John Lithgow's 22nd Broadway production since he won a Tony for his debut in 1973's The Changing Room. He won another Tony for the musical Sweet Smell of Success in 2002 and was last seen on the main stem opposite Glenn Close in A Delicate Balance in 2014-2015. James, a unique show to say the least, but definitely something to get another show into RTC's calendar, and especially in a season that is kind of devoid of any high profile shows or names, having a one person show, limited run, starring a beloved theater icon certainly can't hurt RTC's bottom line.
So I have one question for John Lithgow.
Okay. What is that?
What about love? Don't you want somebody to care about you?
Is that a Sweet Smell of Success lyric?
No.
It's
a song by Heart. I thought this was going to be a musical, and here you're telling me it's going to be a one-man stand-up play. I thought he was going to sing.
He's done a decent amount of singing on Broadway.
Yeah,
Stories by Heart. Okay,
yeah.
I get it. You could have gone Magic Man or Barracuda, and it probably would have driven the point home a little better.
Better.
But, yeah.
Come on home, child, oddly, Mama said with a smile.
Okay. Yeah, the Barracuda thing was oddly Hispanic and accented. I don't think that Anne or Nancy have that kind of accent.
Well,
but
you know what I was doing? I was doing Julie Louise Dreyfus on Seinfeld doing Barracuda, but you don't watch – you've never watched Seinfeld, so you didn't know that. Yeah,
I watched the finale with a group of people and was like – people
What's
like
going
this show?
On? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this is really interesting because if you read between the lines, it sounds like John Lithgow is going to be doing a bunch of short stories and playing all of the different characters in them. So I imagine him bouncing back and forth between a whole bunch of different, you know, characters and weird things. So I think this is actually really interesting. It's bizarre. You don't really get someone doing, I don't know, reading short stories on Broadway, performing short stories on Broadway. You see a lot of one person shows, but they're different than this. So I think it's kind of neat that if someone's going to craft something that's kind of its own form, to have someone like John Lithgow do it. I mean, I don't know if he's the best, but he's in the echelon of people who can be discussed as being the best.
Now, does John Lithgow sell as many tickets as a Jesse Tyler Ferguson or who did The Act of God, the tall, thin guy from the CBS show?
The, the tall, thin guy from the Steve Bishop. That was Jim Parsons did it. And then Sean Hayes did it on the return visit. I don't know if he sells as many tickets as those people in a normal commercial run, because they obviously are all, you know, more known to more recent TV audiences. But if you're putting this into an RTC season, I think John Lithgow probably has a little bit more cachet with their subscriber base. Also, remember, John Lithgow.
So it's not just a rental, it's part of their season?
It is not. It is specifically announced for Roundabout Theater Company in association with producer Stacey Levin. So this is going to be part of their season, from what I understand. At least that's, you know, it's being included as part of its 2017-2018 Broadway season. So it does not appear to be a rental.
I see. And interesting, the move from Jack O'Brien to Daniel Sullivan. I guess maybe Jack's busy.
Well, he's got a show coming to Broadway in the spring. He's got another one on Broadway right now, maybe. But also over the course of a decade, you know, almost a decade, things change. But anyway, so yeah.
All right. Next up, Condola Rashad to star in St. Joan on Broadway this spring.
Yeah, this one's super interesting. James, yesterday the Manhattan Theater Club announced the final show of its 2017-2018 season, and it will be a revival of George Bernard Shaw's iconic play, St. Joan. He also, for this show, went by Bernard Shaw, so you'll see both. It's the same person. As James mentioned, three-time Tony nominee Condola Rashad will play the title role, and coincidentally or not, the show will also be directed by Daniel Sullivan. St. Joan will begin performances at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater on August 3rd, ahead of an April 25th Broadway opening. Set in the 15th century France, St. Joan follows a country girl whose mysterious visions propel her into elite circles. When the nation's rulers become threatened by her popularity and influence, they unite to bring her down, and she finds herself on trial for her life. This timeless and powerful play dramatizes the limits of an individual in a society dominated by overwhelming political and religious forces. Obviously, if you are unfamiliar or can't figure it out, St. Joan is Joan of Arc. James, I have not looked specifically to break down the awards races yet. I should probably do that and make a spreadsheet out of it for the spring. But I love me some Shaw. I love me some Condola Rashad. And I have to think that this is going to be not only one of the performances to see for the season, but very possibly one of the performances to beat for this season. She's got three nominations already. And you have to imagine that a show like this, with this weighty and iconic play that seems to have a lot of crossover to our current political reality, might be just the thing that pushes her from a nominee to a winner.
You know, on any given season, we have to see who she's up against, you know.
I mean, exactly. That's why I need a spreadsheet.
Yeah, we need the spreadsheet, you know, and that deus ex machina the day before nominations close out. Audra says, "Hey, I'm thinking about doing something." And you're like, everybody's like, "No, no, no."
You never know. If she wants to throw up a one person show the night before eligibility closes, I bet she could find a producer in a house.
Oh, I'm sure. And Kelly O'Hara's got a little Audra doll she sticks pins in and things like
Stop. We're not advocating voodoo. We're not saying that anybody practices voodoo. Just stop.
All right. Speaking of voodoo, the Schubert Organization abandons plans for the 45th Street Theater.
I don't know what this has to do with voodoo, but yes, yesterday Variety's Gordon Cox reported that the Schubert Organization has scrapped their plans to construct a new Broadway house on 45th Street. The plan, which I believe we talked about a couple times before, they're all kind of running together now. But what it would have done was put a theater underneath a residential tower between 45th and 46th Streets, right next to the Imperial Theater, just east of 8th Avenue. The price tag on the project was to be north of $150 million. However, according to Robert E. Wankel, the president and co-CEO of the Schubert Organization, he said, quote, "It was more the complexity of the development, which is in part a cost factor, but it was also just getting too difficult to incorporate the theater into the new building in a way that made it economically feasible. It was an opportunity, but we just didn't think in the end it would work, much as we tried." James, Broadway currently has 41 theaters, or at least will once the Helen Hayes reopens with second stage in March with Lobby Hero. But between this, the still vacant 42nd Street Theater, which we talked about a few weeks ago, the Mark Hellinger still being used as a church for the past three decades, we always talk about there being so many more shows that want to come to Broadway than houses. So you'd think a new house would be an obvious solution that if there's real estate available, someone's got to take the opportunity to make the money. But it seems that the people crunching the numbers just can't figure out a way to make a new Broadway theater financially viable.
Yeah, I don't think $150 million is that big of a price.
No, that's a big number, but when you think about
you break up $150 million over 20 years, that's $5 million a year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Wicked, Hamilton, even the middle of the range shows are doing those numbers. So,
yeah.
There's something else going on here that we're not seeing in the press releases. It's probably voodoo.
Well done.
Thank you. It paid off.
Okay. Yeah, it's a nice callback.
All right. Next up, the Cheetah Rivera Awards. The winners were announced.
Yeah, James, on Monday night at the Al Hirschfeld Theater, the winners of the 2017 Cheetah Rivera Awards, which is the new name for the previously known as Astaire Awards, were announced. The legendary B.B. Newworth hosted the event. Tommy Tune was presented with a Lifetime Achievement Award. Diane Paulus was presented with the award for Outstanding Contribution to Musical Theater as a Director. And Antonio Vendome was presented the award for Outstanding Contribution to the Arts and Humanities. All right, here are the winners in the theatrical categories. For Outstanding Choreography in a Broadway Show, Andy Blankenbuehler won for Bandstand. Outstanding Ensemble in a Broadway Show went to Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet of 1812. The show Holiday Inn won for both Outstanding Male and Outstanding Female Dancers in a Broadway Show. Corbin Blue won for Male Dancer. Megan Sikora won for Female Dancer. Outstanding Choreography in an Off-Broadway Show went to Joshua Burgass for Sweet Charity. Outstanding Female Dancer in an Off-Broadway Show was Lyrica Woodruff in Finian's Rainbow. And Outstanding Male Dancer in an Off-Broadway Show was Brandon Espinosa for Bag Daddy. Congratulations to all the winners. It seemed like a lot of fun ensembles were in the house at the Al Hirschfeld last night from social media. You know, one of my favorites, Eloise Kropp, was nominated, didn't win. But, you know, whatever. There's always next year.
Oh, it's raining in her heart. So next up, Hairspray royalties donated to the Actors Fund. How awesome is that?
James, this is a fantastic story. So what it is on Tuesday, the Actors Fund announced that Stephen O'Donnell will donate his late twin brother Mark O'Donnell's royalties as co-writer of the Broadway musical Hairspray in perpetuity to the Actors Fund. In kind, the Actors Fund also announced the Mark O'Donnell Prize, which will be an annual prize awarded in collaboration with Playwrights Horizons to an emerging theater artist in recognition of her or his talent and promise. The prize will be worth up to $25,000 annually. The first winner will be announced at a private dedication ceremony on October 25th at the Mark O'Donnell Theater at the Actors Fund Arts Center in downtown Brooklyn. In addition to Hairspray, O'Donnell also co-wrote the book for Crybaby, as well as book and lyrics for Tots and Tinseltown. He also wrote the plays That's It, Folks, Fables for Friends, The Nice and the Nasty, Strangers on Earth, Vertigo Park, and adapted Molière's original with Bill Irwin into the updated Scapin. He also wrote for Saturday Night Live and many publications. Mark O'Donnell died in 2012 at the age of 58. James, the Actors Fund, as we've talked about before, does great work for not only actors but all members of the entertainment community if they are in need. We've heard everything from Javier Munoz when he was going through cancer treatments, relying on the Actors Fund, to them having a home for retired entertainment community people who need a place to live. It's just a wonderful organization, and with as many productions of Hairspray that get performed around the world every year, this is a wonderful and significant contribution to the work that the Actors Fund does.
That's such a great story. I mean, what a wonderful world we live in. All right. Oh, here's another great story. The Interval, one of our favorite websites, Betsy Wolf is absolutely fine in other concerns.
Yeah, it's a great title for the article. But yesterday, The Interval released a really long, in-depth interview with current Waitress star and Broadway's Next Carrie Pipperidge, Betsy Wolf. It's a fantastic read that goes in-depth about a lot of personal things that we don't often see explored in theater website articles. The article discusses Wolf's emerging social media presence, how she finds her way into certain roles, the relationship between Pipperidge and Julie Jordan and Carousel, Betsy Wolf's evolving spiritual life, how she adapts in show business while maintaining who she is. It gets into a lot of other really interesting personal things, and it's really thoughtful and interesting read, James. I've been a fan of Betsy Wolf going back to the Everyday Rapture days. She's always got this, you know, genuinely sweet but slightly sarcastic edge to her that I've always really liked. But as you read this article, you get a deeper appreciation for just how thoughtful and insightful she is. So I highly recommend it to everybody out there. Of course, we will have a link in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. I was kind of hoping they would ask a question about what it's like to help develop a role in Labs and then to be passed over when they move on, because obviously that's something that's happened recently with Frozen. I understand their reticence to talk about that, or maybe Betsy didn't want to talk about it, but with as open as she was in that article, I was kind of hoping she'd talk about, you know, just kind of the emotions at that. They hinted at it and kind of, you know, I think alluded to it, but didn't talk about it specifically. But other than that, it was a perfect article and a really, really interesting read to get a, you know, pull the curtain back on someone we don't, you know, we haven't really gotten to know a lot about their personal life from the theater community perspective.
So first of all, we need to give a shout out to Victoria Myers, who wrote the article.
Yes. Sorry. Of course. Yes, interval. Absolutely. Yes.
Victoria Myers rocks. And we got a chance on This Week on Broadway to talk to Betsy Wolf in October of 2013 when she was doing The Last 5 Years. And so We have a nice interview with her there. She's exactly as you described. She is funny, sarcastic, smart, witty, everything that is
it's what you want just, in an interview.
Exactly. You know, you walk out of that interview, you're like, wow, that was just it. We got to know this person a little bit, and, you know, it was really, really fun. So cool. Before we rock out of here, let's give a shout out to our listener, Gabe Flores, who sent us an email.
I got that email, yeah.
You got that email? Thanks. Thanks for returning that, Matt, you know.
I just got it. I finished my day job and then I start writing this script. I haven't time to answer emails. What do you want, James?
Oh, man.
Slave driver.
Whatever. It's like you had a hurricane or something.
I've slept like 6 hours the last two nights combined, but whatever. You know, it's fine. Totally.
So anyway, Gabe is a listener and he wrote us a really nice note. I want to thank you for your wonderful note. And he also.
Congratulations.
He also submitted his play to the New York New Works Theater Festival that we talked about with Gene Fish a couple of months back. Learned about the festival through Broadway Radio and his musical was accepted to the festival. So awesome. And his show is getting done at the Duke very soon. Very soon.
Yeah. Very cool. Congratulations.
All right. So, Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Something Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Our Wish, Want, and Will for the Emmys will come out later this week.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for spending some of your hump day with us, and Matt and I will be back and talk with you tomorrow.